Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Exactly 1 year ago today, I was in Taiwan doing a symposium on the Almighty God cult. And I thought it was rather ironic that today, as I was driving into work, I heard a BBC broadcast on this very cult, because it has come into the public consciousness with a fury as a result of one of the most notorious murders in recent memory, when in May, a group belonging to the Almighty God cult beat a woman to death in a McDonald's in East China. Of course, a year prior to that, a girl beat her father to death, thinking that he was a demon because he did not accept her apocalyptic end times theology. So here I was driving into work, listening to the BBC as it is exposing a cult that is dangerous not only from a theological perspective, but from a sociological perspective as well. Some cults are identified from a theological perspective. They compromise, confuse, outright contradict essential Christian doctrine. Others are sociologically dangerous. And that is precisely the case with the Almighty God cult. And as I was listening to the BBC, they talked about this cult and the McDonald's murder.
His mother is a member of the Church of the Almighty God. And since the McDonald's murder, this cult is in the police spotlight. The world is about to end. That, he explains, is the central obsession for his mother and the rest of the Almighty God cult. She's been predicting the apocalypse for nearly 20 years. And in a way, she's been proved right, because for their family, the world has come to an end.
The problem, of course, with this cult is the problem with many cults. Number one, they accept new revelations. They add to the Word of God. In fact, they are very overt in saying that if you just believe in the Bible, if you go by the Bible, you're making a huge mistake, because God has fresh revelation for us, and we are to walk in that fresh revelation. But secondly, they don't know how to interpret revelation. I find it ironic, as I have studied this cult, that over and over again, while they say you really shouldn't use the stale old bread of the Bible, they proof text everything, and when they do, they completely misunderstand the book of Revelation. And that brings up the very real need for all of us as Christians, not only in the global South, but in the West, to learn the art and science of biblical interpretation. I was also thinking about the fact that just a few weeks ago, the Christian Research Institute was able to host a delegation of communist Chinese intellectuals seeking to get a handle on cults from both a sociological and a theological perspective. The Vice Secretary General of Chinese Association of Religious Studies and the President of the Shanghai Association of Religious Studies, a legislative expert from the Standing Committee of the People's Congress of Shanghai, as well as the Director of the People's Public Security University of China, Contemporary Religious and Social Safety Research Center. They're represented at the Christian Research Institute as we help equip them to know the difference between authentic New Testament Christianity and what they oftentimes clamp down on because they think that the real article is the counterfeit. They can't distinguish between the two. And of course, one of the great concerns in China today is that there's a great dearth of discipleship training, and as a result, many new converts are but one experience away from joining a cult to solve their problems. And this is something that was made very evident in this BBC broadcast that I was listening to, in which one of the pastors was talking about this serious challenge to the growth of authentic New Testament Christianity, and that comes in the form of heresies and cults. Because without discipleship, Christians in China, again, are being engulfed in a sea of cultic beliefs and behaviors. Here's a pastor talking about this from China.
For once, the Communist Party and China's Christian churches are on the same side. But that doesn't guarantee victory, as Pastor Wu Weiqing explains in the coffee shop next door.
I very seriously believe in the next 10 years, the most serious challenge to the growth of the church would be from heresies and cult. Because Christian churches in China has been paying attention to the construction of buildings, to the number of baptisms, rather than to Christian education that they can understand very clearly the teaching of Jesus, that they can truly understand what the Christian faith is. And before that, the cult and the heresies always have the opportunity to get those people and to get their heart and to drag them away from us.
And again, what this pastor is saying is that there's a serious challenge to the growth of authentic New Testament Christianity, which is coming in the form of these heresies and cults. And again, you have so many new believers in China. Some are giving estimates of 100 million, 130 million, but so many of them have zeal without knowledge. And that's why cults like Falun Gong or like the Almighty God cult are so dangerous and spreading so quickly. And we thank God that the Christian Research Institute has had an opportunity to make a difference while there is yet time. And I lay all this out for you in that not only are we making a difference in the West through our many ministry outreaches, but we're also making a difference in the global South. In fact, all over the world, just got an email from a man who's listening to us in the Indian Ocean and telling us that our ministry is a great blessing to him. All over the world, this ministry is making a difference, and we are asking people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. Without you, we cannot do the work that we're doing around the world. And so once again, this month, the month of August, which is usually a big downer financially, we're asking God's people to step up, stand with us. It is touching the lives of people. In other words, this is not giving to, but through our ministry, touching people all over the world for time and for eternity. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they're standing by 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you already standing by. I'll start taking your calls right now. Once again, the number to dial if you want your question answered today, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. First up today is Kay listening in Highland, Illinois. Hi, Kay.
Hi, Hank. I need to know about a ministry that's sponsored by an Eddie James, and I think it's based in Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Yeah. If you look at his claim to fame, his own boast, it is that he shares the platform with leading Christian ministries and churches. And then when he identifies them, they are people like T.D. Jakes, Benny Hinn, Paula White, Marilyn Hickey, and a host of people who are prostituting the Word of God. In fact, in the past, he was associated with Rod Parsley's church. I wrote about Rod Parsley in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. And he's also had associations with Mike Bickle and the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, Missouri. So I would say that by his own boast, he is not a reliable teacher.
Okay, well, my granddaughter is down there now, has been for about 3 months. I know she's allowed to call home on Saturday. It's a very structured environment. And is it supposed to be for troubled young people, or what's the goal?
Well, that's the claim, but again, the solution to the trouble does not come from those who are teaching another gospel or associating themselves with people teaching another gospel. So I would say that this is not someone that is producing the remedy. The red flags are all over this guy's teachings.
Okay. Well, I just wondered if it was a cult because of the rigidness and the strictness. Apparently, it's national and international.
Well, I don't know about the sociological implications, and maybe we should look into that, but from the theological perspective, I would say it's dangerous.
Because they apparently go on buses, and I was told that it's their mission to win young people to Christ.
Yeah, well, again, you know, what you win them by is what you win them to. And I think that if you're winning them to the kinds of teachings that are personified by a Benny Hinn or a T.D. Jakes or a Paula White or a Marilyn Hickey, then you're leading them to a false gospel.
So she should get out of there, is what I hear you saying.
Yeah, what I'm saying is I would not recommend it for even a moment.
That's what I was afraid of. Thank you so much, Hank.
You got it, Kay. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. Catherine in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, listening on CJCA. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Hank. I listen to you all the time, and your program is life-saving. So thank you. My question to you is, I'm transgendered. I actually called in a couple months ago, and you sent me some wonderful material out of your journal by that gentleman that's an expert on homosexuality.
Yeah, Joe Dallas.
Joe Dallas, yeah.
Yes.
But I'm transgendered, and I'm thinking of suicide. And what my concern is where will God send me?
Well, Catherine,
follow through on this.
Catherine, you dare not contemplate suicide because that's murder. It's the murder of yourself. And God has a purpose for your life. Your life has meaning and it has purpose. So don't take your own life. What you want to do is you want to breathe new life into the life that God has given you. And that's precisely what Jesus Christ does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes into broken people and he breathes within them new life so that their lives have transcendent purpose and meaning. And you can have that purpose and meaning in your life, Catherine. We're all broken people, but God uses broken vessels for his glory. So do not contemplate suicide. Contemplate the fact that every single day you can take another step. It's not like you can look at the floodlight that is blazing the trail before you. You can only step in a into just a little more light every single day. Let me pray for you. Father, I bring Catherine, a precious child of yours, before your throne of grace. Oh, Lord Jesus, bring people into her life to encourage her. Oh, Lord, let her know that she is precious in your sight, that you love her, that you receive us as we are, that we don't have to change to become acceptable to you, that when we come to you as we are, you change us and you remake us so that we are new creations. Oh, Lord Jesus, please be with Catherine and give her the encouragement that she needs. And Lord, may we be her hands and her feet, the very hands and feet that give their the kind of encouragement that she needs at this very moment. And we pray this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit in Christ's name. Catherine, don't go away. Hang on. Want to make sure that we can have direct contact with you. Don't go away. We are unfortunately coming up to a station break. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Instrument broadcast.
Did you know they're watching? No, I'm not talking about the NSA or the FBI. I'm talking about your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. In fact, because some may never read the four Gospels, they may be reading you as a fifth. That's right, you, the only gospel some may ever read. To receive your copy of the fifth gospel as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI or make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. Stay with us. Hank will be right back in a moment. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity, and it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Mahatma Gandhi once said, "Jesus is ideal and wonderful, but you Christians, you're not like him." If that's true, it would be a sobering indictment. After all, aren't we called to bear his image? Perhaps that's one of the reasons for the growing skepticism and even hostility towards Christianity today. Fewer and fewer people are reading the four Gospels, but they haven't ceased to read the fifth Gospel, the lives of those who claim to be Christ followers. Because our incarnation of the gospel is to be both visual and verbal, we commend you to Bobby Conway's new book, The Fifth Gospel. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. You know the line, "I'll believe it when I see it"? Well, have you ever thought about the gospel in that light? That people might not believe it when they hear it, but would they believe it if they saw it? Paul exhorted Timothy, "Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." The simple reality is that a spiritual, hungry, but skeptical world is watching. And the gospel our lives are preaching will always be more persuasive than words alone. That's why Hank Hanegraaff recommends reading Bobby Conway's book, The Fifth Gospel. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our appreciation for standing with us, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to our phone callers. We'll talk next to Aaron, listening in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Hi, Aaron.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I had a question. I assume you're familiar with Norman Geisler's systematic theology. You turned me on to Norman Geisler a number of years ago. In his book, he has a list, and I don't have it in front of me, but he has a list of things that are necessary for us to believe in, or what is necessary really for our salvation. Not necessary as in, of course, Christ's death, but what must we believe is true, such as, you know, is it true, is my question. Must we believe things like the veracity of the Bible and the Immaculate Conception to be saved? What is it that we have to have? Do we have to have a completely proper knowledge of Christ's nature to be saved? And where's that line drawn?
Well, that's a really good question. I would say this, that from my perspective, we have to realize that we are sinners. We need to be willing to repent of our sin and become participants of the kingdom, receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our lives. Now, in doing that, we don't have exhaustive knowledge. I mean, there are many people who deeply desire a relationship with Jesus Christ that do not have an exhaustive knowledge of hermeneutics, that do not have the ability to rightly communicate the Trinitarian biblical texts to be able to communicate the dual nature of Jesus Christ, one person with two natures, 100% human, 100% divine. But as you grow in grace and knowledge, you become more and more astute. And this is what a convert is, someone who desperately wants to be a disciple. Maybe the wording there is poor, but the whole idea is we're not called to make converts. We're called to make disciples, and not only just disciples, but reproducing disciple makers. And therefore, in the process of discipleship, we grow, we learn, we develop. And this is an ongoing process. So I can say I'm in the midst of that process myself.
Absolutely. The question I ask, and it very much has to do with that idea of initial salvation and then continuing in Christ, is I've actually been under your tutelage for quite some time now, listening to you on the radio, and you've had a big impact on my apologetic ministry and whatnot. And I used to write and converse with and regarding Mormons, and I was of the belief, and I'd say still am, that there are very many Mormons, I'm sure, that are saved because they don't have a complete understanding of what Mormonism is and the doctrine that they espouse. But however, as they grow in that faith, they will realize that it conflicts with the Bible. So does that undermine their salvation? And do they have to have a true knowledge of Christ's nature, his deity? Do they have to believe that he was God to be saved? You know, how does that affect the modalist, the Mormon, the Arianist?
Yeah.
You know, do we have to believe that he is divine? Is that a necessary requirement for salvation?
One of the things you've probably heard me say, Aaron, is that it's not the absence of truth that damns, it's the despising of truth that damns. You look at many new converts, and they, as I just mentioned, they cannot properly articulate their faith, but they want to follow Jesus Christ. They believe that he is Savior and Lord, and even in baptism, that's what they're saying. I'm no longer saying Caesar is Lord, I'm saying Christ is Lord. I'm no longer aligned with any institution, any individual. I'm following Jesus Christ. He is Lord and Savior, and I want to conform my life to his principles and precepts. But as you've alluded to in the prologue to the question, there are many that just do not have a full comprehension of those precepts and principles. And that's an ongoing process of learning and developing to know the Lord that you follow more nearly and dearly. It's a process. And that's why I say, Aaron, I'm on that road. I'm in that process myself. And the more I learn, the more I realize how little I really knew to begin with. So, yeah, I mean,
the more we have to adjust our belief.
Yeah. I mean, there are many things that I did not speak out on for many, many years because I just, you know, I heard the various opinions that theologians gave and I couldn't make heads or tails of it. So it took me a while to be able to study, to show myself approved, and then be able to speak out on something that I had some knowledge about. And we do that with gentleness and with respect. I think the main and the plain things, Aaron, are so simple that a child can at least apprehend them. They can't completely comprehend them, but at least apprehend them. And I think those are the things that we stand for as those that say we are followers of Jesus Christ, the principle of which is the deity of Jesus Christ himself. So if you have a Mormon saying that Jesus Christ is not divine, is not God, then they're compromising, confusing, or in this case, outright contradicting an essential of the historic Christian faith. And they're following a Jesus who really isn't a Jesus at all, a false Jesus, a Jesus who...
Yeah. Well, if we have a moment, I don't know how many callers you have a moment just for a discussion of the ramifications of that?
Oh, sure, yeah.
So if we talk this idea, I believe, and maybe I'm wrong, but I believe that a Mormon can come to faith in Christ when it's based on faith through grace alone, not based on works. A Mormon can come to salvation, but like we're talking, as they continue to grow in that, they have to reject these principles that go against against the Bible. But what does that – what are the
– That ultimately means they leave Mormonism.
Yes, but – what if they don't? And they were saved, you know, at their inception, but then they choose to...
But if they're truly regenerated, yeah. I think, Aaron, sorry to interrupt you there, but if they're truly regenerated, I think that they want to follow Jesus Christ. They're not going to despise truth when they encounter that truth.
That's good. All right. Cool. Well, I'm sorry. I'm typing this down as you talk because I like to take notes.
So. Well, I am. I'm so honored that you would listen to me because you sound like you have a very keen mind and a gentle spirit.
Well, it's all from you and your works and all of the works you've recommended through the years. So, as we continue, we'll continue to grow. So I appreciate you all that you've done for me, Hank. I really do.
Aaron, thank you so much. You've warmed my heart. Thank you. I'm humbled.
And God bless. Have a good
God
day.
God bless you. Yes, Bryant, next in New York, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bryant.
Hi, Hank. My question has to do with a book that I've just been exposed to called Truth in Translation, and I was hoping you would comment on the book, but also if there was a good critique of the book that you would give me that information to. So I'm going to just hang up and listen to what you have to say.
Sure. Yeah. I actually think that James White has done a critique of his work. This man does hold a doctorate in comparative religion. But James White has pointed out that while he is genuinely a scholar, he's not a biblical scholar. And as a result of that, he is making commendations of the New World Translation. Now, he also makes criticisms of the New World Translation, but any commendation of the New World Translation, I think, is ill-conceived, and that is, as Dr. Bruce Metzger, a professor of New Testament at Princeton, once said, the New World Translation is a frightful mistranslation, but even more, it's erroneous, it is pernicious, and it is reprehensible. And so while he is making commendations on that particular translation, with the qualification that he also makes some criticisms, he's also making some ill-conceived criticisms against good modern translations. So I don't think he's a reputable biblical scholar or scholar of the Bible, someone that I'd put any real stock into, because he forwards many erroneous arguments. But I think James White has probably done the best job that I know of off the top of my head. We can look into it some more if you'll hang on. Right back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Gregory in Stanwood, Washington. Hi, Gregory.
Good life to you, no matter what, okay?
Gregory, you're on the air.
I did. I said I love you.
Oh, thanks.
Good life to you.
Thank you.
Okay.
I thought you were talking to someone else.
No. That's a blessing, which, you know, we can bless, let alone God. So my question is, do Christians get to carry guns?
Well, you know what? You are coming to the right place. We actually did a debate in the Christian Research Journal on that very issue. And actually what happened in the journal is we decided to do a debate in writing. And it gives two Christian perspectives, and I think it is incredibly insightful, because as you read the two articles and then you see the rebuttals of the various positions, it really causes you to be driven into the Word of God so you can come to a true valuation of this. And the reason I posit this in this way is this is one of those things that Christians debate vigorously but ultimately do not have to divide over. It's a secondary issue. So I would recommend the Christian Research Journal. It's actually a story in the Christian Research Journal. If you hang on, we'll send it out to you. It's called The Gun Control Debate, Two Christian Perspectives. We are coming up to a station break. Do want to mention as we go to break, not only the fifth gospel available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, but also if you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of one of my books. And the book that I'm recommending right now is the Creation Answer Book. I'll not only send you the Creation Answer Book, but also an incredible Origins issue of the Christian Research Journal as my way of saying thank you for joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. Now, if you do that online, it's fairly simple. If you do that via the mail, then you have to indicate, I want to join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. And you can do that as you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Of course, Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. I also want to alert you, if you're living in Kansas City, that I'm coming to Kansas City. All of that's taking place Thursday, September 25th. I'm going to be talking about rightly dividing the word of truth, or mining the Bible for all its wealth. And as I talked at the opening of this broadcast about cults, one of the big problems is they add new revelations, but they don't know how to interpret Revelation or the rest of the Bible. That's what leads to all kinds of heresies and misapprehensions of the precious Word of God. Be right back.
I am blessed. I am prosperous. My God is a supersizing God. These self-affirmations from Houston preacher Joel Osteen are leading millions of people across America and around the world astray. And Hank Hanegraaff has written a book to combat this new brand of Christianity that you need to get today. It's called The Osteenification of American Christianity, and it's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. so please call to request your copy today. 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. We'll be right back with Hank Hanegraaff after this. D.L. Moody once noted, "Where one man reads the Bible, 100 read you and me." That's a sobering thought, but one that could also encourage us. Because while most non-Christians today will never read the four Gospels, they will read a fifth Gospel, the lives of those who claim to be Christ followers. By living out the Gospel, we gain credibility. By verbalizing the Gospel, we provide clarity. And that's exactly why we recommend you to read Bobby Conway's new book, The Fifth Gospel. It will help you wrestle with the critical issues involved in living out your faith in front of a watching world. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Mahatma Gandhi was once asked how he felt about Christianity. His reply? He said he would seriously consider becoming a Christian if he ever met one. Interestingly, your non-Christian friends and associates might be saying exactly the same thing. They may never read the four Gospels, but they could be reading you as the fifth. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Reading the newspaper this morning, Gay Pride Festival, now City Signature. That is in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I was just thinking about how things are changing and how rapidly things are changing in the United States or in the West. Charlotte now is preparing for the Charlotte Pride 2014 parade and festival, and it's this weekend. And city leaders are now participants. Two city council members are in the parade. Leading employers like Bank of America and Wells Fargo are among the sponsors. And the Signature Gay Pride Festival is replete with Well, with family-friendly activities, it says, and with drag queens as well. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Anna. She's listening in Memphis, Tennessee on Bot Radio. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
And thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Okay. I appreciate that. I wanted to ask you, and I haven't been listening to you for a while because I didn't have a radio that worked.
Mm.
But anyway, I've got one now. And I think you used to say that the harlot that sits on the harlot on the beast who, oh gosh, I can't think of how it's worded now. The harlot who sits on many waters
mm-hmm.
and rules over the kings of the earth, is mm-hmm. it something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I think you believed that Israel was the harlot, and I wondered why you thought that or still think that.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's really important to read the Bible within its own context. And as the letters of Christ to his persecuted bride utilize images that are deeply embedded in the language of the Bible, so too the judgment of Christ against a prostituted bride is written on a seven-sealed scroll. It's announced with seven trumpets. It's depicted by seven plagues, and they find their referent in the history of the Old Testament scriptures. So we must always read scripture in light of scripture. And by the way, the pattern of sevenfold judgment against unfaithfulness on the part of Israel is spelled out in dreadful detail in Leviticus. And if you read Leviticus, you'll find there that four times God tells his covenant people, I'm going to punish you for your sins seven times over. And in like fashion, the imagery of sevenfold judgment against apostate Israel is unveiled on four occasions in the book of Revelation. And the pronouncement of judgment for unfaithfulness in the seven churches is followed by the judgments, of course, of the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls. And therefore, what has always puzzled me is how people mistake the identity of the mystery Babylon, the great mother of prostitutes and the abominations of the earth. Because if you look at Scripture in light of Scripture, only one nation is inextricably linked to the moniker harlot, and that nation is Israel. And anyone who has read the Bible even once has flashbacks to the graphic images of apostate Israel when they first encounter the great prostitute of Revelation. Because from Pentateuch to the prophets, that image is endlessly repeated. Of course, the most gut-wrenching, I'm sure, for anyone, as I say, who've read the Bible, is the portrayal of Israel as a prostitute as found in Hosea. But that's not the only place you find it. You find it in Jeremiah, and there the language is chilling and explicit. In fact, so chilling and explicit that I dare not read it over the air. And then the portrayal of Jerusalem as a prostitute is even more brazen in Ezekiel. Ezekiel says that the prostitution of Jerusalem made that of her sisters, Samaria and Sodom, look insignificant by comparison. So if you look at the depiction of apostate Israel as an insatiable prostitute in Ezekiel's depiction, you also see the self-evident parallels in Revelation. In fact, Revelation is a virtual recapitulation of Ezekiel, from the four living creatures to the mark on the foreheads of the saints to Gog and Magog. And even that just scratches the surface. If you are even a Sunday school child with a Bible in your hand, you can find 100 or more parallels on a quiet Sunday afternoon. But nowhere are the parallels more poignant than in Ezekiel 16 and Revelation chapter 17. They're sequential in terms of their linkage, and they're memorable as well. So the idea is that Israel is called to be a light to those in darkness, but instead aligns herself with Caesar in piercing Christ and persecuting Christians. And the golden cup in her hand, therefore, is filled with the blood of the prophets and the saints and of all who have been killed on the earth, according to Revelation chapter 18. so shrouded in mystery. She was glorious, like the most beautiful of jewels, but unveiled as apostate Israel, she becomes grotesque. And so again, the connection is made by the scriptures and in such graphic fashion that I don't think it can be missed.
Well, Hank, I know you're a lot more knowledgeable in the Bible than I am, although I have been studying it for at least 15 years, every day and every night.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But I think that this harlot, I think that the Revelation is speaking about another time, and I think that this harlot is the Catholic Church, which really does rule over the kings of the earth, is still doing that, and they did abominable things to Jews and other Christians. And I'm not saying that a Catholic can't be saved, but I really think you're wrong about that the book of Revelation, is a look back instead of a look ahead. But I know I'm not going to convince you. So thank you for taking my call. And one more question. Do you have to be baptized, to be saved? I'm a born-again Christian, and I was baptized. But, I have heard that baptism is like a figure, and it's not absolutely necessary to salvation.
Well, baptism, Anna, is the first act of obedience on the part of the believer. And so it is a way by which you're saying that you're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price, that you have been buried to your old life and raised to newness of life, and you're no longer saying Caesar is Lord, but Christ is Lord. So it is a way of testifying that you've been buried to your old life, raised to newness of life through his resurrection power.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you, Anna. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. And of course, this whole notion that the Roman Catholic Church of the 21st century is the whore of Babylon is not uncommon. I mean, in page after page in Tim LaHaye's books, you read that the Roman Catholic Church is just that, and it is stated in the most pejorative of terms. In his view, Rome is not the only form of Babylonian mysticism, but merely the one that has infiltrated Christianity. And after the rapture, their leaders will remain, and they'll bring all their Babylonian-based religions together with one global idolatrous religion. And when you read the invective, it is so bad that not even Brown's The Da Vinci Code approaches the kind of language that is unleashed against this already vulnerable target. But look, this is not a mysterious thing to figure out. This is a matter of just reading the Bible, and it's not a matter of being a scholar. I mean, this is something that becomes very apparent if you read the Bible only once, so it doesn't take a lot of study. I certainly believe that Revelation does take a lot of study, but this particular point is fairly easy to ascertain in light of the rest of Scripture. And it's also fairly clear that Revelation is the unveiling of the purified bride. She's dressed in fine linen, bright and clean, and though she suffers for 10 days, she'll reign with Christ for 1,000 years. The contrast, therefore, between the purified bride and the prostituted bride could not be starker. While the prostituted bride bears the mark Mystery Babylon, the great mother of prostitutes and the abominations of the earth, the purified bride bears the moniker of the Lord and the Lamb on her forehead. And unlike the synagogue of Satan, referred to by Jesus Christ, those who claim to be Jews, though they are not, are precisely those who should fear the judgment that was going to befall Jerusalem, for she had not been sealed by the Lamb slain from the creation of the world. In fact, before apostate Israel is judged, true Israel must be sealed, according to John. John says, an angel called out in a loud voice, "Do not harden the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God." Then I heard the number of those who have been sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. And again, the 144,000 is another one of those numbers that is just pregnant with meaning. It ultimately is a way of referring to the full complement of God's people from every tongue and language and people. And they become the great crowd. So from one vantage point, the 144,000 are numbered. From another, they are numberless. And they're wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, and they cry out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." So contra the Jehovah's Witnesses and even people like Tim LaHaye, the 144,000, the great multitude, are not two different peoples, but two different ways of describing the same purified bride in contrast to the prostituted bride. Literarily, the 144,000, the great multitude, are comparable to the lion and the lamb. Just as John is told about a lion and then turns to see a lamb, so he is told about the 144,000 and then turns to see this big multitude, this great multitude. And therefore, the 144,000 are to the great multitude what the lion is to the lamb, namely the same entity seen from two different vantage points. From one vantage point, the purified bride is numbered. From another, she is innumerable, a great multitude that no one can count. This whole notion that we have in dispensationalism, that there has to be some great holocaust against the Jews in the end times, is simply false. If you listen to Left Behind Theology, and now it's going to be a movie, the Jews are going to be herded in the Holy Land, and they're going to suffer great tribulation. Two-thirds of them are going to die in a holocaust that exceeds anything that's ever happened in terms of horror on planet Earth. And so while Christians reside in luxury in heaven, the Jews are killed. And they're killed because of what their forefathers did in saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." That's the Left Behind theology, but it is not biblical theology whatsoever. There's no warrant for suggesting that the Jews of today are going to suffer for what their forefathers did. In fact, there's every warrant against believing such a thing. Again, I've written about that in the Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Unfortunately, out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Mahatma Gandhi once said, "Jesus is ideal and wonderful, but you Christians, you're not like him." If that's true, it would be a sobering indictment. After all, aren't we called to bear his image? Perhaps that's one of the reasons for the growing skepticism and even hostility towards Christianity today. Fewer and fewer people are reading the four Gospels, but they haven't ceased to read the fifth Gospel, the lives of those who claim to be Christ followers. Because our incarnation of the Gospel is to be both visual and verbal, we commend you to Bobby Conway's new book, The Fifth Gospel. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ.
With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices.